Good evening, boys and girls, and welcome to the Naked Football Show. With the news that Derek Bowden is leaving the club, we ask, what now for Town and the future? And what are the chances of the likes of Connor Wickham, etc., getting a look in as the season draws to a close? To help us in this quest, we welcome Town fan Jeremy Lieber.
Hello.
Alongside Jeremy is the presenter of our own Unknown Pleasures here on ICR, Mr. Joe Ward.
Hello.
And of course the man who first broke the news of Mr. Bowden's departure, Mr. Phil Hamm.
Yeah, that's not strictly true. No, the club did when they announced it.
You did, but
you certainly made a press release.
You certainly beat both the papers.
We don't listen to that. We don't listen to you.
Yeah, both the websites in the morning didn't have it. So.
I'll claim.
So well done on that. So join us in... Join us and Phil with your thoughts by emailing studio@icrfm.co.uk. Or of course you can drop us a text on this catchy little number, which is 0779 700 712. I think we're going to have to start with you, Phil, because you're the only one who went to Sheffield.
Am
so you better get that out of the way, I think, quickly.
Well, I quite like quite a nice day.
Yeah, that was good. Was the weather nice?
It was actually it was very nice indeed. Sheffield's a nice city. I quite like Sheffield.
Yeah, I do actually. Nice pubs.
Yeah. Trams, I like.
The trams are very good, aren't they? They run on time and everything.
Yeah.
Very hilly as well.
Yeah, yeah. It always reminds me rather of Belgrade, I have to say.
Oh, right. Or San Francisco.
Seven Hills, isn't it, and all that. And it's, the football kind of ruined it, really.
As it does.
As so often. I met a friend who's a Sheffield United supporter who sat alongside me. Normally, because we've been friends for many, many years, and we always go and watch Town United games together, Sheffield United games together, and overall Town have had much the better. It's been very rare that he's kind of been able to kind of say, oh, well, at the end, you know, and go and kind of be the one with the glory. But Saturday, really.
The smug one.
But Saturday, we really, you know, I think we had a bit of a shot early on with Alan Quinn with the free kick. But overall, we lacked cohesion. They had the better of it. They scored two goals, and really, there was no way back from there. But by the time we started to play just before half time, it was already over. You couldn't see us scoring two goals. I mean, frankly, at the moment, you couldn't see us scoring two goals
the rest
over
of the
a period of 10 games, let alone. It's true. I mean, you know, the lack of firepower in the squad at the moment is really quite
impressive.
To get to this stage of the season, really, and for there to have been no changes to the striking makeup either by someone coming in January or someone coming in on loan is fairly remarkable. And you know, now we're looking to Connor Wickham to come in, 16 years and 11 days old, as he'll be on Saturday, to come in and make the difference. And but there you go. That Sheffield wasn't too cheerful, really.
No.
A cracking goal, though.
It was.
It was. Their first goal was his. Yeah.
It was, but, you know, it was a preventable goal because the ball came out to him and no one from our midfield was anywhere near him. I mean, I think he was playing right midfield, wasn't he, Halford? And he was on the edge of the area from a corner, I think it was, wasn't it, or a free kick. And no one went to close him down. So he was given, really, kind of all the time in the world to score the second goal. Stead and Bruce got in one another's way. Stead unerringly found Norton on the edge of our own area. Norton crossed it in, and Balkestein was beaten in the air by Henderson. So another goal that should have been defended, really. But I don't think failing to defend has been our main problem this year, I think.
No.
Goals are our biggest issue, along with playing a kind of cohesive game that... controlling game at home, which would probably, you know, is probably behind why we've got so few points at home this season. Cool. Anyone know?
It's grim, isn't it? That's grim. So, what do you make of the Bowden thing then? Should we get off Sheffield unless you want to carry on?
No. I don't think it comes as a massive surprise that Derek is gone, because there's been these rumours. Or the newspaper, national newspaper stories recently about Simon Clegg coming in as chief executive, and although you were getting kind of noises from the club that saying, oh no, there's nothing in it, we don't know anything about it, it was kind of phrased as, we don't know anything about it sort of thing, rather than no, you know what I mean? So you wonder whether there was something coming up. And I think it's sort of the inevitable process of Marcus Evans coming in and wanting to bring in his own people. He's presumably spent the first year learning the ins and outs of the industry, and is now making his decisions and bringing in his own people. And
is there any reason why you'd announce it now as opposed to at the end of the season when he's actually going to go?
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know, really. I suppose Derek Bowden was off last week, ill, apparently, yes, in inverted commas. So I wonder whether he was spending last week talking with Marcus Evans about how the...
And there was something in the press release about the various opportunities that are coming his way,
He's got nothing lined up. Right. Iron's in the fire, but I don't think there's anything sort of... I don't know why necessarily now. I suppose to some extent...
To give him a farewell from the fans, but you could do that with one game to spare, couldn't you?
It's
rather
true.
Than five.
I don't know. It's, as you say, strange timing, as it would be if you were to sack the manager at this point in the season, I would say. But I don't know. Perhaps they just that an agreement had been reached and they didn't want the kind of news sort of seeping out as news tends to.
It's one way or another.
So
yeah.
They might as well just make the announcement now. And presumably...
And it won't be sort of as disruptive to the immediate team affairs as it would be sort of it coming out that Jim was going to go or something. Do you know what I mean?
No, certainly not.
The team can continue to do what it's doing sort of thing in the knowledge that he's leaving at the end. It won't be so disruptive.
I don't think Chief Executive has that much of his team.
No, he doesn't really have any, does he?
I think that the Simon Clegg, obviously coming... Simon Clegg, who was the Chief Executive of the British Olympic Association, he... is not really not a kind of chief executive in the manner that Derek Bowden's chief executive. From what I gather, when he was moved out of his role with the Olympic Association, it was to allow someone who was more of a business type figure to come in that role.
Oh, I see.
So the thinking that I've had, and one or two people on the message board, is that Simon Clegg is seen more of a sort of sporting director in the continental European sort of sense, rather than a chief executive in the
business concept.
In the business Derek Bowden, Howard Wells sort of sense in the past, which I think is quite an interesting development. I don't know whether we want to take that thought on. And
does he have a sort of any background in football as such? Then,
not that I'm aware of. I mean, his background is in the army,
right?
And then I think in skiing, I think was his. He's kind of his sport, if I remember rightly. But no, not in football.
He's obviously got some sort of sporting knowledge or pedigree, being the Olympics. So that's a very general thing, isn't it? But
it's interesting in terms of who's going to do the transfer deal.
So he wouldn't be sort of a director of football as such. He'd be sort of in between that and a chief executive.
Yeah, well, I mean, a sporting director in the sense of a...
Because that's like a newish role in the last few years, a term that's been used, isn't it? Because you used to have manager, chief executive, then you had director of football was a term that was used, and now it's sporting director.
Yeah, well, I think director of football was always in something sort of is in English football, where you've got kind of like a senior figure. I'm trying to think of a club now. We're like David Pleat or someone.
I was going
to
say Pleat,
Tottenham, and you have a younger manager who's kind of sort of learning his job off the older. I suppose in a way, when we had John Lyle as the manager, and you had Mick McGivern at one time as the team manager, sort of sitting below him, sort of thing.
Right.
But the sporting director idea in terms of European football is that he does the business side of the kind of sporting or the admin side and. Of the sort of sporting side.
So things like dealing directly with transfers
and that kind of thing, I suppose sort of like David Dean was at Arsenal, that kind of role. Below him you have a coach, a head coach, who's the man who deals with the players and whatever on a day-to-day basis and picks the team. But the sporting director is the one who does the... Yeah. That management. I mean, back in Bobby Robson, he had both jobs, but...
Would the sporting director have sort of a major influence on who they wanted to sign, or would that still be the manager's call and he would just do the negotiations?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I was talking to one of the Norwegian Town fans about how, because obviously this is the way that things tend to work in Europe, and Norway being a country where that situation is normal, and you know, that organisation, that organisational structure works out there. I think what's been the problem in England, because everyone says, oh, a sporting director, a football director, doesn't work.
Yeah, they don't.
Because here it's not been done in a manner that is... What's happened generally is you've had an ageing manager plonked in above another manager, so you've got kind of too many...
Well, Dennis Wallace.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's a good example, yeah.
Yeah, Newcastle being a perfect example of where the whole thing's been mismanaged. But it'll be interesting if that is the idea. I mean, we don't want to go through the whole programme saying this is what's been happening, because it's not necessarily. But,
yeah.
I think kind of there's a general feeling that there probably will be a change of the person who's in control of the first team over the summer. And I wonder whether Simon Clegg is seen in this sporting director role and that there'll be a head coach, for want of a...
Sorry,
carry on, yeah.
And so do you think that him coming in, so Bowden leaving and him coming in, do you think that sort of necessarily spells the end for Jim? Is that a step in that direction, do you think? Or do you think it's still feasible that Jim might keep his job?
It's feasible, isn't it? Yeah. But I think, you know, the fact that that Derek Bowden is going does kind of suggest that there is a mood for change,
yeah,
doesn't it?
So you had Sheepshanks gone first, like, you know, then now Derek Bowden, so the obvious next person would be the team manager, wouldn't it?
And I think, you know, at the end of the day, when we look at the season as a whole, most of us would agree that it's been a failure, and managers pay the price for failure, don't they, ultimately?
Well, the most boring season in 40 years.
I'm sure there must have been more.
Even under John Duncan, it was exciting because we had lots of pitch invasions and boos and stuff. That was quite good.
Are you calling for pitch invasions and boos?
On Norwich.
Boos with a ZE on the end. Yeah.
Ah, right. Yeah.
So what are people on the?
Well, they're asking different questions. I mean, this is Chris Robinson. That must be our man, Chris. The chicken, Chris. Hello, mate. If it is you, this is a completely separate subject. How many do the panel know? How many people are renewing, not renewing, or buying for the first time? This is to do with tickets, of course. Is the situation likely to be as bad as some people fear, or are we on target to just see a recessionary drop in line with other clubs?
Well, as of last week, I was told by somebody kind of who would know without being kind of over anxious to kind of spin it, that he was reckoning sort of 10,000-ish as of last Thursday or Friday, which is before the kind of Saturday rush. So I reckon we're about 12,000.
Oh, right.
Maybe more. I don't know. I think the thing that saved them is the 8 month. The official figures as they were given to me yesterday were that there were 6,500 had been opened by Monday close of play, and they've got another 13 sacks full.
Right.
They wouldn't kind of commit to a figure.
An average per sack.
Yeah, I don't know what the average capacity of a sack is.
Yeah. We could sit here doing the sums then.
Exactly. Yeah. If a sack weighs... I get the impression from what people have said to me anyway that they're better than they thought they'd be.
Yeah.
Not up to 15.5, but I mean, which
a drop of maybe 10% or something. I read back.
Yeah,
possibly.
But there, I mean, 15,500 now, I think roughly, but they usually pick up a few over the summer and pick up a few as the season goes on.
Yeah.
So I reckon you're probably talking 14-ish would have been probably where they were at deadline day last year, sort of thing. They're probably within a couple of thousand of it, I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon that's a guess.
I mean, the attendances might depend on if Jim's still there. If we finish sort of badly, people might just think, well, I'm not going to bother with this for the time being. But if a new man comes in, pre-season looks good, then I wouldn't mind betting the attendances go up a little bit for the start of next season. But it's sort of
there will undoubtedly be people waiting, won't there?
I know a couple of people who aren't renewing. They said they don't want to go anymore till Jim goes. So whether that be at this point in time, they haven't renewed. So not to say they won't sort of near the start of the season, but they're prepared to take the risk on losing the sort of best deal, as it were, at this stage. So,
and I suppose in terms of it being, you know, having an 8 month interest free payment or whatever it is,
it's pretty good, really.
It doesn't actually kind of sort of hit you that much every
no,
month.
No, it's manageable, isn't it, within the month?
Yeah. Obviously.
Of course, Norwich do it throughout the year, don't they? They have a 12-month and an opt-out clause, so to get out of it, you have to make all the effort of cancelling your standing orders and everything. So that's quite a good idea. You sort of can't be bothered, so you just stay with it, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Like a gym membership.
Missing a trick. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, Paul Atkins, does the panel agree with me that it's a bit mean to take Connor Wickham away from the England duty, or is Jim's just trying to stop scouts seeing too much of him?
I think they probably know all about him anyway. They've been watching him all year, a lot of the big clubs, from what I've been told. But, you know, there will not be a John Bostock situation, in quotes, someone told me.
How long do you foresee him playing on Saturday?
I don't know, really.
You'd hope at least a half-hour run out, do you think?
You wouldn't see him starting, would you?
No.
I doubt it.
So, yeah, I reckon you're probably right, about half an hour or so. Mind you, if we go three down in the first 15 minutes, that would be straight on. But
I think we'll all have left, but
yeah, we'll be the only one left in the ground.
I think a full game for the national side, rather than, you know, the 10-15 minutes that you could get on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's a kind of, you know,
unless he's thinking like bring him back, have these two games over the Easter weekend, maybe come on sort of half an hour Saturday if he does well, possibly start at Bristol City on Monday, then it could be our secret weapon in the derby next week, because that's about all we've really got left to hope for, isn't it?
It's true.
A Norwich win, and if Connor comes on or starts and gets the winner, then the place will go nuts, won't it? So
he'll become talismanic in the battle of Danny Haynes.
So maybe he's thinking if you let him stay with England, he'd miss both of these games, and then to blood him against Norwich would probably be too much of a risk, maybe. Mm. So
no, well, I think, you know, we said goals are what we're lacking, and he's scoring them. And he may only
hat-trick
be
hat-trick for the under-18s, isn't
yeah, he may only be 16 years and 11 days or whatever it is, and I suppose when you think that, I think the last person to make their debut at 16 was probably Bodic, maybe
for Town, maybe, or Darren Bent, or was it 17?
Maybe Aidan Collins might have done since.
Gerard Nash, did he play?
Oh, that's true, he might have done. But also about Bodic, with his physique was never, he's still not really kind of up there with Wickham's. I think Wickham is kind of built like a much older player already, isn't he? And I think that will probably stand him in good stead. But we shall probably see on Saturday.
Okay, Ian, I don't know who Ian. Ian, whilst I've certainly lost a lot of faith in Jim Magilton over this season in particular, I do find the local media treatment of the man quite wrong. One person in particular seems to have his own agenda and a personal vendetta against Magilton. I'm sure you know who I'm referring to. I'd be interested to know how you guys think, or what you guys think about it, whichever.
Ooh, well then, gentlemen.
What about the situation with
the media?
Yeah.
I think it has been it's been a lot worse than it has been in recent weeks. I mean, at its peak, it was a campaign, which has been something that is very, very rarely
sort of like early February, wasn't it? It hit a point where it just was like a witch hunt almost, wasn't it, for anti-Jim at that stage? So, I mean, I suppose they got column inches to fill, papers to sell, that sort of thing. But I don't remember it being quite so vile, you know, so strong against the manager as it has been now.
And the thing that amazed me was, I mean, the situation isn't that bad. You know, yeah, we're not fighting for playoff places, but
we could be Norwich.
We could be Norwich. We could be in a lot worse position. And you know, these, you know, calls for Jim's head to be, you know, immediate, you know, is correct. But I think at the moment, people have accepted that maybe the end of the season is going to be the time, and they've kind of laid off him a little bit.
Mm.
I mean, I
it was because Mark Evans came out and knew that statement sort of to quash all the talk, basically just said, look, it'd be bad destabilising to make any changes at this point in the season. That was again before the Forest game, was it?
Yeah,
I think it was
match, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was another great one. Oh no, we actually won that one, didn't we? Was it Forest?
I can't remember now. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. If it was Forest, we did actually win that game. So that's one of the only home games we've won since December or something. But
I think there is a bit of a subtext to the whole thing, in that Jim is not the most approachable manager from a media perspective. He's you've gone from a situation where Joe Royle, just, you know, anyone rings him, he'll have a chat, and I know from people I know who work for the Star or have worked for the Star that Joe would actually have a story each morning for you. Joe would actually think ahead about what
really?
The story could about play. Jim isn't interested.
Yeah.
Now, the reporters don't like that. They get fed up because they're not getting stories. You'll find increasingly, or you will have seen increasingly over the season, there is no harder news.
It gets to a Tuesday and a Wednesday, there's no midweek game.
Exactly.
It's a long while till Saturday, what they're going to write.
Exactly. I mean, it's made harder also by the fact that they've got the the transfer window now, which means there's no transfers between the end of August and the beginning of January,
and then again,
For after the end of January. So it's something born out of that, really, that Jim hasn't really helped himself in terms of. If you've got to kind of oil the wheels, haven't you, as a manager?
Yeah.
I think. And Joe Royal knew that very well.
Season campaigner, wasn't he,
exactly.
Joe?
Exactly. So. And even though there were reporters that he didn't particularly get on with,
yeah,
he would still kind of talk to them. And whereas Jim, and of course there was this specific issue of the Secret Seven meeting that and Jim having the quotes from an unnamed player, which he says. That no player spoke to the journalist who ran the story, as of course fueled the flames during November or whatever, or whenever it was, or December, wasn't it, I think, and then led to the situation in January, February, where you had the mass falling out.
Yeah, and then he wouldn't speak to anybody. He stormed out of a press conference, didn't he, at one of them, I think.
But I mean, there has been a sign recently of a bit of a thawing, in as much as Jim has done a bit with the Star, and he's done. There's going to be a bit with us in the next couple of weeks once it's all sorted, in a similar sort of vein to the bit that Elvin did in the Star. And Jim has started going to press conferences again. So,
yeah.
But
and at one time, John Gorman was doing all the radio stuff, wasn't he? I don't know if he still is or not. Actually,
no. Well, Jim took over. Jim came back last week because the radio bits and the written press bits are all done on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And. We'd been excluded for some while, TWTD, and we were asked back last week, and Jim was back last week as well.
Okay,
so there is some sort of thawing,
return to normality.
Yeah, but of course, all this kind of relationship between Jim and the press is not helped by the fact the results haven't gone well.
Would he ever be free for say if there's a football based discussion panel at 6 o'clock on the radio?
I think we might have a long way to go before he comes on. I can ask him next time I speak to him.
Get some grapes for him and stuff, you know, get him some champagne, he might come down.
Yeah, maybe get him an ale.
Make him feel welcome.
Go on, what else is on there?
Alex Garnham, if as seems entirely possible, Jim is going to. This is actually, this is turning us on its head for you to discuss here. If as seems entirely possible, Jim is going to be here next season, does anyone believe he'll have learnt from his mistakes, or do you think we are likely to go through the same depressing saga all over again?
It's a situation that I don't think I've ever thought about, is it?
Jim staying on? That's what I mean.
It's a good question.
It is, isn't it?
It's difficult to say. One thing I would say is if it starts even remotely badly, he can't last more than, say, a dozen games. If it starts, you know, if it's the win, draw, lose sort of start, then, you know, I can't see any way how he could possibly remain. I mean, it's quite feasible he may start. I mean, you'd like to think it would have to get better next season, but how much better is difficult to say, isn't it, really, I think?
His expectations, as you said, would be a lot higher than tail end of this season. And, you know, one would hope that he has learned from this whole experience, maybe being more, you know, outwardly open to the media and stuff. But it's, I don't see him staying.
You don't?
No.
I think it'd be very difficult to this season, if Jim's still managing next season, for the season to start with anything other than kind of pressure on him already.
Yeah. Because we'd have to almost start like the leaders type of thing, I think. Because this year it was like, right, well, the overall target's playoffs, and when we've been mid-table all year, but there's always been the thought that so long as he turns it by the end of the year, it'll be all right, but hasn't materialised. So if he was to stay, then he'd have to start really, really well next season. I think he'd have at most 10 or 12 games from the beginning.
Can you imagine going, say he's still there, and we play Preston, you know, perfect good example. We play Preston first game of the season, within 15 minutes we're 2 goals down at home.
Yeah,
the atmosphere is going to, you know, from there it's not going to be a healthy way to start. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, I'd love Jim to be successful or to take Town up to the Premiership.
Yeah, I share the same view. I really want him to succeed.
But I just don't see it happening.
No.
And I think that's how a lot of people feel, isn't it?
You had your thing, didn't you, on your website on.
Oh, Dude Town, 90, well, I think it was 89% or something on our last this afternoon.
And you read the message boards, and at least sort of 8 out of 10 are anti-Jim, isn't there? There's the odd one that is pro, but increasingly there's more and more blanket anti-Jim sort of feeling.
But I don't necessarily think it's purely. I mean, not everyone is kind of as vitriolic as people who turn up with a bedsheet with Magilton out there, are they?
Yeah.
I'm certainly nowhere near that.
But I think most people are kind of sort of a shame, but I don't think it's worked out, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's how I view it, anyway. Graham, more on the wires.
Well, no, you've got to finish, I'm afraid. That's your lot, mate. Absolutely. You've actually reached your time. You know, you just waffle so much. That's it. Sorry. So
apologies to everybody.
So I'm really sorry, everyone. But
about the predictions for the next.
We have to. Well, you haven't even really got. Go on, quickly.
Draw Saturday, loss Monday.
Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll go on two wins.
Two wins.
Yeah. Ooh, I think winning a draw. There you go. I've got every combination.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm told we've got another few seconds. April Fool. Well, in that case. And how are they going to play the kids, do you reckon?
What kids?
Well, who's Connor Wickham?
Well, Connor Wickham, other than Connor Wickham,
is he going to get a game? Is he going to get part of a game or all of a game?
Some sort of a game.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than him, I don't really see that there's. I mean, look at this. I mean, you've got Trotter who's out on loan already.
Yeah. Clark.
Supple who's out on loan. Clark.
Four of them are going anyway, aren't they? I can't remember which four now. I looked at it earlier, but yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely. Robinson, Reason, and Upson have all been told they're going. But Trotter, I think, might get offered a contract. When I've spoken to people at the club, I don't get the feeling that they're definitely going to let him go.
Is he at Scunthorpe at the minute? Yeah.
Okay, so we may end up with our youngest ever player making an appearance on Saturday.
Yeah.
I
hope so. Something to make it a bit more interesting.
It'll lift the crowds. And
it will.
And also John Walters could be back, which is I didn't expect. So yeah. That would be good. And Gio as well. So
in preparation for our webbed-fingered friends. In a couple of weeks' time. Okay, thanks for that, everyone. Thanks for Joe. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Jeremy. Thanks to Phil. Till next week. Have a good one, everyone. Bye bye. Take care. Bye.